I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! All right, good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB, providing everyone a safe space for the independent thinker for 2 hours a day, 9 to 11 weekdays here. Next hour, it's Wednesday, so we'll do Hump Day Health, Natural Health News you can use. I'm already cracking myself up. I've told you, sometimes I get onto a train of thought the day before a show, and I come up with something, and I think, ooh, I can't wait to do this on air. Next hour, I'm going to give you some statistics, some facts about the modern American medical system that I will guarantee you have never heard presented in the way that I'm going to present them next hour. And it is going to be harsh, I'm going to tell you. So beware if you're in the medical field. This could trigger you, unless you're one of the good people in the medical field and you already know the facts that I'm going to bring to you next hour. I'm telling you, I'm excited about doing it. You will never have heard health statistics the way you're going to hear them next hour in Hump Day Health. And then we'll get to some more beneficial things to your health. But right now, I mean, for the past year, it is about destroying people's faith in this system, because people will not go along with masking and mandatory vaccinations if they understand that the system, the healthcare system, is corrupt. And it does not mean there are not wonderful people all across the healthcare system, but the system itself, let me just say this again. I'm going to prove to you that this is not an industry you should be taking your life advice from. Sometimes we really need doctors. Sometimes we really need hospitals. But as far as allowing them running policy that dictates all of our lives based on some kind of a moral and intellectual and scientific authority, I think not. I'll show you what I'm talking about next hour. All right, quotes of the day today. We'll crank off with that. Found a couple of good ones, one particular from one of my favorite writers here. But this was just an interesting one. It just explains kind of what we're seeing as we all kind of struggle with friends and family members who totally disagree with us on all kinds of things. And we can all be guilty of this, but this is a quote by Franz Fanon, F-R-A-N-T-Z, Franz Fanon. He said, "Sometimes people hold a core belief that is very strong. When they are presented with evidence that works against that belief, the new evidence cannot be accepted. It would create a feeling that is extremely uncomfortable called cognitive dissonance. And because it is so important to protect the core belief, they will rationalize, ignore, and even deny anything that doesn't fit with their core belief." And this is what we're witnessing now. People just internalize, identify with things, refusing to admit that even in the face of facts to the contrary, they can't let it go. It's really strange. Interesting. I'm not that way. A lot of times when there are issues where I can kind of see both sides of it, I almost wait for somebody else to debate the issue so that I can figure it out more. And if somebody wants to throw facts in front of me that prove that something that I've said or thought is wrong, I don't want to be wrong anymore. I want to be right. I want to find the truth. And so I'm so wide open to all kinds of debate and disagreements. But that is not the average person. Probably in the world, but certainly in the United States. Cognitive dissonance. Be on guard for it within your own life. This is just fantastic. I didn't even get to read the whole piece. There's a writer named Caitlin Johnston. Fantastic writer. Fight the power, girl. And so I saw she had written an article came across in my feed today. She publishes, I believe, on Substack. And so I knew I wanted a quote of the day today. I figured I saw she wrote a piece. I haven't even read the whole piece, but I knew I'd find some nuggets of gold in there. This is what Caitlin Johnston says. She says, in reality, exactly 0% of the world's worst people are in prison, but some of the best people are. The fact that Donald Rumsfeld lived a long life of freedom while Julian Assange wastes away in a Belmarsh prison proves the world doesn't work the way we were taught in school. The very worst bad guys are not put in prison by the good guys who run things, because the very worst bad guys are the ones who run things. The system isn't designed to protect us from society's worst. It's designed to protect society's worst against us or from us. The system isn't designed to protect us from society's worst. It's designed to protect society's worst from us. That's a thinker, and it's so true. I also have today one of my new things, add-ons to quotes of the day, is the fear word of the day. Fear word of the day today. ISIS-K. ISIS-K. Ran across a story that said, experts are warning that ISIS-K is preparing to exploit the refugee wave created by the Taliban takeover of Afghanistan to infiltrate terrorists into the West. I just got to tell you, isn't that terrifying? What rights can we possibly give up to protect us from this new terrorist threat, particularly as we are on the eve of the September 11th, 20th anniversary? I'll be doing my September 11th show on Friday, September 10th. Economic stuff. I got a notice yesterday that my Hulu subscription, you get Hulu, the streaming service, Hulu's going up from $5.99 to $6.99. It's only an extra dollar a month. I got to tell you, there's a lot of value in these streaming services. One of the reasons I use Hulu is because I don't watch a ton of stuff. And Hulu's cheap, so if I've got some downtime and want some entertainment, I'll use Hulu. $6.99, really, to have unlimited access to TV and movies and all these other kinds of things. It's really pretty reasonable, but it does not negate the point that Hulu just had a 17% increase in their price. I just bring that up because these are the kinds of little, you know, death by a thousand cuts we're seeing across our country right now when it comes to inflation. It's these small increases. You go to the grocery store to take cash back after you buy something. Says, do you want any cash? It was always kind of nice at the grocery store. Right before you're checking out, you know, you swipe your card and it says, hey, could you use a little walking around money? And I would say, sure, give me $40. It's nice to have a couple of dollars with me. And it'd just give you $40. Now, it's 50 cents. They stop you. And we're going to charge you 50 cents now. It's just 50 cents. But really, when you look at a $40, or some people just take a 20 out of there, I mean, that's a pretty decent interest rate that they're collecting. So it's all of these really small things, and not a big story, but it's another one of these kind of anecdotal stories that just show that prices are just going up everywhere, and now Hulu's subscription prices are up 17% basically in a month. And I was listening, to Joe Biden yesterday, talking about climate change. He went and did his tour of, he went down to Louisiana and did his little say what they tell him to say, act like you care about people, fly away. Well, he did the same thing up, I believe he was in New Jersey yesterday, and I don't even have a clip of it, but he used some of his old man get off my lawn intonation. I've been laughing about this since he first started campaigning. For some reason, all of a sudden he gets into this really angry tone. Even when he's saying something that could be construed as positive, this happens to the mentally impaired. They kind of lose their emotional regulator. And he just did something. And here's the thought I had. When I heard him do this, I just thought, oh, there's that weird thing again about him with this old man get off my lawn way of delivering a line or parts of speeches or whatever. And I had this very weird, quick thought. I wonder how many Nigerian prince email scams Joe Biden has fallen for. What would you say? I say, and this was, again, just my gut reaction, I say Joe Biden has fallen for at least 7 Nigerian prince-type email scams within just the past few years, I would say. He spent a lot of time in his basement last year, probably checking his emails. And if you just think about Joe Biden in particular, not only is he mentally deficient, and these are who these scammers prey on, is old, elderly people that are out of their minds. But Joe Biden is in this really unique position where he probably gets one of these scam emails and he thinks, oh, check it out. Another royal somewhere in the world is trying to tap into my political power here in the United States. And if I just send them $2,500, they're going to send me back $500,000 or whatever these scams are. I don't know why it hit me that way. But Joe Biden's got, he's mentally deficient and he is already corrupt. You know, he got kickbacks from Ukraine when he was in power and probably a little bit more mentally wise. He probably thinks every email scam that comes through is something. And it made me even think of this, too. I'll bet you anything that Joe Biden, that Jill Biden took away Joe Biden's credit card years ago. That is who we've got running the country. An old man fallen for email scams, and his wife has to take away his credit card, yet he's in charge of the world's largest military, the biggest budgets that the planet Earth has ever seen. I guarantee you. The guy is just thinking, wow, a prince in Zambia is willing to pay me big bucks for my political influence. I'll certainly send him $2,500 to get the wheels moving. Anyway, Joe Biden, not the only American prone to scams. They did a study yesterday. I've talked a little bit about these NFT, these non-fungible tokens. Have you seen these things? They're digital files that people are buying. Jack Dorsey sent the digital file of his first tweet for, I think it was either hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars. This is a tweet you could go online right now and find within about 20 seconds. But somebody, I guess, has the source file for this thing and they paid hundreds of thousands of dollars. There have been some artwork that has gone for the tens of millions of dollars, little digital images that you can go right now and look up online. You can make it the wallpaper on your computer for free. You could print it out on a piece of paper. Hell, you could turn it into a poster and frame it at your house for free. But people will pay millions of dollars for these things. 48% of Americans and 22% of Britons think these NFTs, these non-fungible tokens, are good and safe investment. 48% of Americans think these non-fungible tokens, which are just this latest fad, they're just the one of the most bizarre things I've ever seen. You know, at least when you bought a Beanie Baby, I mean, you had the Beanie Baby in your hand and you knew how many other Beanie Babies were out there and those people had those in their hands. People couldn't access your Beanie Baby for free. But that's what these NFTs are. Anybody can access them. You just own the original source file. I don't even understand it. 18% of Americans and 5% of Britons have personally invested in NFTs so far. And 44% of Americans believe NFTs are here to stay as compared to just 27% of Britons. We are more gullible than the British over here. Of course, while the average American is falling for crap like these NFTs, we're all getting scammed by one organization. Some news came out about one of our monetary oligarch elites. And it shouldn't surprise anyone. It should anger everyone. I'll be right back. There was an article that I read yesterday. I think I've got it bookmarked to talk about on Friday. It was some kind of traditional conservative. It might be Red State, Gen Z, something like this. Is it some Red State kind of Republican conservative thing where they were going on and on about the fact that the true enemy of the American people is radical Islam. This is an article leading up to September 11th, 20th anniversary. It's also talking about the fact that the Taliban have taken, you know, that we've gone out of Afghanistan and just all the mess that's over there. So this is another Republican, conservative, whatever they call themselves, coming out and pandering to the right, telling you, so we still need to remember that radical Islam is the number one threat to the United States. You know, radical Islam is certainly not consistent with our Constitution. We're not going to have Sharia law here. There's not a Muslim country on planet Earth that has the ability to implement it here. But radical Islam isn't in the top 100 dangers to your way of life. And the fact that conservative people are still trying to gin up this fear, like my fear word of the day, ISIS-K, is really amazing. In the face of things like this, you want to know what the real threat to your way of life is? There's a story about one of the Federal Reserve board members, Robert Kaplan. He was the head of the Dallas Fed. You know, they got these Feds all over the country. President of the Dallas Fed, Robert Kaplan, a former vice chairman at, anyone? Goldman Sachs, who was responsible for the firm's investment banking activities before leaving in 2006. Well, we now learn that at the same time he was advocating for unlimited quantitative easing and keeping interest rates at zero until well into 2022 or 2023, he made multiple million-dollar-plus stock trades last year in 2020. According to the disclosure form provided by Dallas Fed, Mr. Kaplan had a total of 27 individual stock, fund, or alternative asset holdings, each valued at over $1 million. So this guy is setting monetary policy. He knows the firms that are going to benefit from zero interest rates, these huge global corporations that essentially borrow money for nothing, buy back their own stock, juice the price of that stock. The guy directing that policy was making trades of over $1 million each. And I would imagine they were timed before some Fed announcements or some of the things he said that just assures that he makes money. Meanwhile, the same guy, you know, they're the ones that are making homes unaffordable for our kids. And there's even a sadder story about that I'll get to in just a second. We got a caller on the line. Caller, are you with me?
I am, Mike. How are you this morning?
Good. What's going on?
Hey, well, something I was going to pass along regarding the banking thing. While the government is working hard to help out the corporate banks, have you heard of and I heard this interview with a banker yesterday. This wasn't just some guy with a blog and thinking, hey, this is what I think they're going to do. This was a proposal that is coming from the Biden administration. Now, that has not been put into legislation yet, but their proposal is that the banks report to the IRS any transactions into a savings account or checking account cumulative of $600 a year.
Somebody sent that to me. I didn't know where that stood, but yeah, I have seen talk of this. Now, what they did was originally, just so people understand the history of this, prior to 9/11, they had what are called suspicious activity reports, and the IRS came in and said they want the banks to rat out any American that does anything over $10,000 that is not in their normal banking practices. Well, after 9/11, they lowered that down to $3,000, because I guess the terrorists can do it on the cheap, came to be $3,000. Then the IRS went to the banks and said, for a couple of things, we want all credit and debit card transactions reported to us. That's right. Every time you swipe, the IRS knows what you're doing. And then they told the banks, we want a suspicious activity report on anything in the account that is out of the ordinary, meaning if you were to sell a trailer for $2,200 and put that money into your account, boom, IRS gets a transaction of it because you're a suspect and they need to be tracking all of your activity. So now it's down to, would you say $600 a year?
$600 cumulative, not 600, 1,600. You know, before when it started out at $10,000, it was $10,000 cash.
Right, in one transaction.
If you walked into the bank and dropped $10,000 in cash, they were reporting that. And then it kept changing as you just described. This is $600 per $600 of transactions. So if you get a paycheck, your paycheck goes into your banking account. And this is what this banker was describing. This isn't my interpretation. This is what he said. Do you get just your normal paycheck? If you get a Social Security check, anything that's deposited into your account, it counts as a transaction. So, and it's $600 cumulative, added up. So that's
unbelievable.
That's not very many paychecks, you know.
This is Soviet Union style stuff. That's exactly what that is. It's Soviet financial surveillance of its people. And yet, ISIS-K. You are scared of ISIS-K, aren't you?
There's three behind this bush I just went past.
Yeah, I'll bet.
I know they are.
You watch your
and
six out there.
I'm looking in the trees now. Yeah, looking in the trees to see if any of them are, if I can spot it.
Yeah, I mean, this is just, it is so amazing to me. They're going to roll out ISIS. They're going to probably stage some terror events, get everybody spooked about that stuff. And I'm telling you, all of these things, the terrorist events of September 11th of 1993, the Cold War, all of these things, all of these external enemies, and the Republicans are really some of the most guilty about trying to point you to all of these threats. China, Iran, North Korea, ISIS, Al-Qaeda. They're always trying to, you know, get you to look outside of our borders at all of these threats that never could change the way of life of the average American, while all of these kinds of things go on behind the scenes, which are just stripping us of all of our privacy, dignity, and rights.
I mean, it is just absolutely abhorrent that And folks are going to say, well, that's the Biden. I guarantee you,
oh, no,
there ain't a damn thing that Roger Wicker or Cindy Hyde Smith are going to do to stop it.
No, these rules have been changing constantly for 20 years and previous to that, too. But they got really draconian after 9/11 because that's when we really decided to roll over like well-behaved puppies, expose our bellies to the state and let them get away with anything they wanted to. Because just like the COVID hysterics right now, a lot of conservatives and other people were so scared after 9/11 that they just said, please keep us safe. We'll give you any of our rights. Just take our rights and keep us safe. I hope conservatives can see how misguided that was, and they can compare it to COVID now, where people are wanting to give over their rights to this disease, because conservatives can see that crystal clear. They just can't see that they did the exact same thing in the face of terrorism. But yeah, these things have been going on administration after administration after administration. Roger Wicker, Cindy Hyde Smith, Michael Guest realize they are part of the club. And the way that club gets funded is by the mafia arm, which is the IRS. They're not going to stand in the way of that.
And here is proof positive of the club and the way it is. How many times do you hear the Democrats come out and talk about those evil bankers and those evil banks and these evil corporations,
right,
and the rich and famous, and how make them pay their fair share? And yet, when you look at Congress, probably 7 out of the top 10 wealthiest congressmen are Democrats.
Oh, yeah, and they're the hedge fundies. The hedge funders love them.
They're getting money hand over fist from banks and from corporations all over the country that are sitting there, and in exchange for giving the corporations, in exchange for giving the Democrats all this money, the corporations get the legislation they want, and in exchange, the Democrats get to go out there and vilify the corporation.
Right.
Now, we're just going to talk about this in public like y'all are scum of the earth. But now, we're going to pass this legislation that's going to make you even richer.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy.
There's a lot of Democrats out there, a lot of true liberals, you know, the kind of the Jimmy Dores, the Matt Taibbi, the Glenn Greenwalds. They see this on the Democrat side, the absolute hypocrisy and corruption in the Democratic Party with that stuff. Chuck Schumer is known to be basically the Wall Street whisperer.
Wall Street donor.
Yeah.
Recipient. Yeah. Of all of them.
Yeah, yeah. They serve these corporations.
In exchange for getting all that money, he helps Wall Street, and then he gets to go out and talk about how evil Wall Street is.
Right.
And that's a swap out.
Yeah. Well, he knows his voters are stupid, you know, and most people are economically illiterate, but most people are just stupid. People love to hear the words. They don't like to pay attention to the actions. Heaven forbid we actually hold any of these people accountable for anything. Hey, got to jump to a break, but I appreciate the call. Thanks. So disgusting with this group. We've got a Soviet-style architecture of tax collection in this United States. It's been here for a long time. They're going to try to scare you about ISIS-K now while you just allow these things to metastasize. It's getting worse. They're talking about in the Biden administration hiring 89,000 new IRS agents. I don't know where you store 89,000 souls while they take those jobs, because I don't think you can keep your soul intact being a part of that organization. What's your frequency, can it this y'all been so drained? We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. I went yesterday to the Madison County School Board meeting. I really went to kind of observe and get the lay of the land, see who showed up, what kind of people showed up. And I got to tell you, it was pretty great as far as the people showing up. Jameson Haygood does the 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock hour. He was scheduled to speak. I actually had to come back up to the station, so I left early before the meeting was concluded. So you'll probably get a report from 2 to 4 today from Jameson about if he was able to speak. I haven't seen any video of it. I'll tell you the layout of the thing, and then I'll get to some of the people that were there. Really some great people, and it was great to meet some people who have listened to this show before. Some people have communicated with me by email, and some people I'd never met before. They're inspirational people. You know, I'm kind of in this hunt. I don't have kids in the schools right now, but these are parents who are fed up. They really are. They're not radicals. Conservatives can get a little too cool for school, in my opinion. A lot of people, and I understand it. I mean, a lot of us don't want to stick our head up and be noticed and, you know, do something that might be ridiculed by the cool crowd or something like that. But the cool crowd was at the Madison County School Board meeting yesterday. I mean, these were good parents. I talked to them about their kids' experience. Anyway, the layout was I walked in and there was a kid there. His mom had made up some stickers that said Madison County for Mask Choice, which I love. That's somebody who did something cool. These things should be plastered on people's cars. Because what's going to happen with things like that is that a lot of people won't get involved in those things because they don't want to appear radical somehow, I guess. I can't really. I'm trying to put myself back in my old yuppie skin, back when I was a neocon, warmongering, Kool-Aid drinking, talking points repeating Republican. And I really wanted to be a real kind of conformist. I wanted the BMW. I wanted the French cuffs. So, you know, I went through that stage, but I think I've always had this streak of radicalness in me. My Scottish heritage, I think. But what will happen is people will start seeing other parents stand up, and it will give them the courage to stand up as well. Some people aren't the first movers. That's fine. That's how movements grow. But the first people have to move first, and I saw a lot of the first movers last night. But I walked up, and I had put this sticker on my shirt that said Madison County for mask choice, and I started walking towards the doors to lead into the school board meeting. One of the doors was open, double doors. One of the doors was open. I could see in there. Or chairs everywhere. I mean, open seats everywhere. And the woman said, well, we're all full in here, but there's overflow right down the hall. She pointed down the hall. And I said, well, there's a lot of chairs in there. Well, those are spoken for. And I believe they were bringing a bunch of teachers in to recognize them from listening to the audio that we got in the room, which I'll explain in just a second. So I went down to the overflow room. I was a little early. And they put the meeting at 5 o'clock, which makes it tremendously inconvenient for a lot of people to work and get through traffic and have to deal with kids and still make it there by 5. So I think they try to, you know, 5 o'clock is kind of one of those sneaky times. If we put it at 5, we can say it's after work hours, but we know most people can't get there right at 5 because they can't leave work early. So, that's just what it feels like. This thing could have been at 6 o'clock. I went down to the room. I was the only person down there. It was a pretty decent sized room. Looked like kind of a much bigger than a conference room. There were six chairs in the overflow room. Six. All socially distanced. Each chair was about 8 to 10 feet apart. Just these six solo chairs in there. And here's how they wanted the overflow crowd of Madison parents. This is your Madison County School Board. Here's what they provided to you, because I guess they must really be on a shoestring budget there at the Madison County Schools, notwithstanding all this federal funds they've gotten for COVID stuff. For some reason, the way they allowed overflow people to hear, I was going to say participate, but there was no participation from the overflow room. They had one small laptop, and the laptop was even comically small, but it was a small laptop with just a screensaver on it, no video, and it was sitting on the floor. They didn't even put it up on a table, and there was a speaker next to this small laptop on the floor, so essentially anybody who wanted to hear what was going on in the main room had to pretty much go down, squat in front of the speaker, and listen in. No video, no TV on the wall. And again, maybe the Madison County School Board is just, they're so stretched, they can't afford a $200 flat screen TV to put it up there. So as I referred to it last night, it was quite obviously an invitation. All credit to Seinfeld for that. You know what an invitation is? It's doing something. I do a lot of invitations to call when I ask questions where there's just almost no good answer you can give me to rebut, so I know I won't get any calls for them. But an invitation is kind of like, well, this place is open, but we're going to make it pretty miserable and pretty inconvenient and everything. It was an invitation to attend the Madison County School meeting. But a lot of people still showed up. I was impressed. We didn't fill the room. There's not near enough. What did I say the other day? There's like 72,000 parents and grandparents with children in Madison County Schools that as we speak, are being physically, mentally, socially abused in our schools, sitting in a mask for 8 hours a day. Talking to the parents last night, we laughed a little bit about the gullibility of the Madison County parents who believed it's just for 2 weeks. Apparently, they have extended it for just another 2 weeks. This is how they get away with this stuff. But people did show up. I kept waiting for them to turn the heat on in that room. I told everybody, I said, you know, we were just laughing at these Spartan accommodations that were in this room down the hallway from the main area. And because I couldn't see any video, I don't know if those chairs ever did get filled, but we certainly weren't welcome. Everybody was perfectly nice to the people there. There was no hostility or anything, but the parents in that room and some grandparents too were pretty fired up. They were sick of this. We were listening to the case numbers. And I believe the number, you know, it was kind of hard for me to hear because I didn't squat in front of the speaker down on the floor on the side of the room over there. Some people were listening more attentively. I was kind of talking to people. But I believe they said 81 cases. And I did say out loud in the room, that's out of 13,000 students. They have 81 cases. They call these outbreaks. 81 students out of 13,000 is why your children are being masked, being abused today. But it was inspirational to talk to some of these parents because, you know, there was one woman I spoke to who has been involved for a while. She has 4 kids in the school district. 4 kids. She had to make accommodations for all of them yesterday afternoon. Somehow she made it down there. But she was one of only a couple of handfuls. And I didn't expect a huge crowd yesterday, but we're going to work on trying to get those numbers up. I am telling you this right now. If you cannot change policy at your school, you cannot change anything. And I mean that with all sincerity. What other organization, what other level of government is so accessible to the average American parent than your school district? Just the fact that it's a school district shows it's geographically close to you. You think you're going to change something in Jackson, Mississippi at the legislative level when you can't get the school to unmask your children, just give you the freedom of choice for your kid who comes home every day with a headache? Do you understand? A headache is a sign that the body is telling you something's wrong. A headache is not just a headache. just a little inconvenience. This is what the Madison County Schools, Rankin County Schools, Jackson Public Schools, all these school districts, it's just a little inconvenience. Aren't you willing to have just a little inconvenience for the good of everyone? No, it's to the detriment of everyone. It's to the danger of everyone. The headache is your body saying something that is happening right now is not good for the body. But if you cannot affect what goes on at your school, you are completely impotent. I'm going to have absolutely zero tolerance for anybody. I think this may be a litmus test. Maybe this is obnoxious, judgy. But if anybody approaches me and says, we need to get rid of this Joe Biden, we need to do X, we need to do Z, anything on the national level or even on the state level, and I say, do you have a kid in Madison County Schools? And if they say yes, I'm going to say, were you able to get the masks off your child? You know, the child that you live 2 miles from the school, 6 miles from the school board place, offices. You've got the phone number of every person on the Madison County School. It's on their website. Were you able to change that? Because if you didn't even bother to really change that, I don't know. I got a lot of tolerance for you telling me you want to unseat a sitting president and change the system and drain the swamp and all of these other things. It's very easy to say drain the swamp and vote really hard for Donald Trump and then just wait for him to do stuff. That's what everybody did. Now people are going to sit on their hands for 3 more years waiting to either reelect him or for Ron DeSantis to come and save you. All you got to do is stand down for 3 years, let your children be masked for the next 3 years, put up with all the indignities of the Biden administration for 3 years, then vote really hard on one day in November in 2024, and then sit back for another 4 years until you realize, oh, that didn't work either. Then we're into 2028. This is how this works. If people will not even take action on something, this is a serious issue. And I'm going to tell you, it's serious because the shots are coming next. You either put in the structure right now to show the school board it's your kids and your school. It's not theirs. They are there to administer the day-to-day of the school. They are not there to be in charge of it. The parents are in charge. There are 5 school board members, and as I said, 72,000 parents and grandparents in Madison County. 5 school board members are going against the wishes of at least, I would got to say, 50%. I ask a lot of parents. I took some informal polling. How many teachers are on board with, you know, real strict mask adherence? And I got a lot of that, 50-50. Same with the parents. If 50% of the parents and grandparents are tired of watching their children be mentally and physically abused on a daily basis in these ineffective masks, that's 36,000 parents and grandparents and 5 school board members. If you can't mobilize, if you can't get 36,000 people to change the minds, to force the hand of 5 people that live a few miles away from you, don't talk about any other issues. Seriously, just give it up. Just realize you're just along for this ride. You're sitting on the train, and you're just going to sit there and do nothing. You're going to stare at your phone till it completely goes off the tracks, because it's wildly unimpressive to me that you actually have an issue you can make an effect on, and it's as serious as the abuse of your children on a daily basis. But I don't have the time for all that. A phone call? Come on now. It's football season. Well, the parents last night, we're going to continue to work on that. If you want to get involved and want to add to the momentum, if you weren't there yesterday, that's fine. This battle is not over. I'm telling you, it's not over. I don't know how many times I said last year during COVID, we're in the face of everybody telling me, oh, this coronavirus is just about the election. Watch, it's going to be over on November 4th. And I told you all year long, I said, no, this is so much bigger than just the election. They're using it for the election. But this is a bigger issue. This will continue to go on. I think I'm vindicated. I'm looking around. I think we're still talking about COVID, aren't we? Yeah. Yeah, we are. It's not over with the next 2 weeks of masks. Even if they stop the mask mandate, you need to keep the pressure on, because the next thing is the vaccine, mandatory vaccines. So this is the moment. This is the litmus test to see if Madison County, Rankin County, Jackson Public School parents have any power left whatsoever. Because this is the smallest the smallest chore you have politically to change something. It's a slam dunk if people actually get involved. We'll see.
How hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.
All right, stick around with me next hour. You're going to be stunned by some statistics I give you. Let me say this in passing, and I don't have enough time to flesh it out now. I'll talk about it again later. If you do not get out ahead of this stuff, use the mask as almost an exercise. Get your kids out of the mask to show the parent that parents have power over their own schools. If you don't, and this vaccine mandate rolls out, let me make a prediction to you. It's not a leap. They will start taking children away from parents who do not vaccinate their children, and then they will vaccinate them against your will. You don't think that'll happen? We've already seen the judge in Ohio. It was reversed. But like I say, they take five steps forward and then one step back. If they mandate these vaccines for your child, I don't care if you're homeschooling your child. If they mandate these for all children for the common good, your refusal to do that, you'll be reported by some of your pediatricians out there. It's a warning. I'm telling you, get involved now. Be right back.
Attention citizen. You are listening to a subversive radio broadcast that is not approved by the AMA, CDC, FDA, or any of your health overlords. It has a radical and unapproved message about health freedom that is not acceptable to the pharmaceutical companies, the medical establishment, or the state. Your health is now in the hands of the state and these extremely profitable organizations. Any attempts to reclaim your own health will result in an unacceptable personal freedom. Please discontinue listening and consult the CDC, the FDA, and the AMA for all approved health information. Your health is none of your concern. We are in charge now. If you continue listening, you will be considered anti-science and anti-government, and this will negatively affect your citizen score. You have been warned.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, and it's Wednesday, so we get into, disclaimer or not, Hump Day Health, natural health news you can use, where I tell you, you're in charge of not only the health care, but the health of yourself and your children in particular. I've got some statistics. You got to stick around. I guarantee you've never heard this put the way I'm about to present to you what we call the American medical establishment here. I got a quote of the day to kick this off. U.S. hospitals are the only American industry that can kill 120,000 Americans a year through nosocomial infections and employ doctors that kill another 250,000 Americans a year through medical errors and still remain open. That's going to lead into some statistics we're going to look at. I talked a little bit about it the other day in light of these attacks on ivermectin as horse paste. Even though the mainstream media, Thomas Dobbs, Anthony Fauci, all of these health authorities, Twitter, YouTube, they all know ivermectin has been prescribed billions of times. It's doled out like candy, essentially, in Africa in a pill form for human beings, proven to be very safe and effective. But this bizarro world propaganda campaign against it is nothing new to those of us who travel in the natural health community. Because we have watched the medical establishment come after alternative treatments for decades, probably a century now. As soon as the big corporations, particularly the Rockefellers, and now as soon as you say that, you start to feel like Alex Jones, but Alex Jones is right about some things. These are not conspiracy theories. You can just read the history of modern medicine and realize that this overprescribing, we are the most heavily medicated society that has ever inhabited planet Earth. We're more medicated than every other country around the world because industry controls our health care, and we're not the healthiest. It would be one thing if they were putting out a bunch of pills and we were all happy and healthy. I still might try to go natural because I know there's side effects to pills, and I don't believe my body is ever craving chemicals from Merck or Pfizer. But at least I would understand why people go along with it. But our health outcomes go worse and worse and worse and worse, and we take more and more and more pills. And the medical establishment is the one driving that bus. When it comes to alternative treatments, everything from fasting to juicing, I mean, just about anything, the medical establishment comes out against it or they roll their eyes. Try going to your doctor and saying, yeah, you can research a condition you have. Go to your doctor and say, you know, I was looking up some stuff on the internet and, you know, was thinking about doing the keto diet or fasting or, you know, I need more magnesium, something like that. You know, most doctors, I don't know what the percentage are. They'll roll their eyes. Oh, let me guess. You've been on the internet again? They're very pretentious and condescending. You need to leave your health care to me. Don't be doing your own research. A lot of doctors are like that. I talked the other day about the story of Dr. Brzezinski was curing cancer. His patients were happy as hell. But the American medical establishment, the medical mafia, was not happy with him because he was upsetting the apple cart of radiation and oncology, which is wildly profitable in the cancer industrial complex. And so the state medical board in Texas took him to trial something like 7 or 9 times trying to strip him of his license. They failed. He's still in practice. His patients were lining up outside the courthouse, outside of the administrative offices where he was being tried by his own industry, saying, please leave this man alone. He saved my life. He's saving my life. He saved my children's life. The problem is he just didn't use the approved cut, burn, and poison model. And so doctors actually tried to have him stripped of his license because he was helping people. He just wasn't doing it according to the rules of the profitable groups. Chiropractors. Chiropractors have been under attack. There is a great documentary I really encourage people to watch. It's called Undoctored, and I looked last night. You can find this online for free, and it's about chiropractic care. It covers, I didn't watch that last night, but as I recall, it covers the American Medical Association went after chiropractic, tried to call them quacks, and I believe the way it went was that basically chiropractors sued the AMA for defamation and slander. Doctors were trying to run chiropractors out of business, even though chiropractors were helping people. And they lost, or the AMA lost horribly in court because it was proven that they were on a malicious, just a PR campaign. It wasn't fact-based. It wasn't because patients had been complaining or that people were dying. It was because the doctors didn't want the competition from people. A lot of chiropractors are very big into natural health strategies. They're kind of they look at the totality of the body, not just one symptom. They give you a pill for that symptom, and when another symptom pops up, oh, goody for them. They get another office visit and another expensive prescription. Chiropractors are not like that. Then it was very interesting, too, to watch, and there's a story in there for your sports fans out there if you want to know. Is this just another boring, science-y documentary? It talks about the Utah Jazz. I believe it was John Stockton, famous guard for the Jazz, twisted his ankle during a game. And they thought he was going to be out for 6 weeks. Some pretty horrific looking, you know, he turned his ankle out on the court. He went back to the training room, and they had started using a chiropractor on staff there. This chiropractor manipulated his ankle. He was back in the second half. And after that, John Stockton said, why the hell haven't we been using these guys all along? So it's I think it's a very interesting documentary, but you should check it out because it will also show you the medical mafia in all of its glory. And I'm going to say this again because it bears repeating, and maybe it's because some of my best friends are doctors. There are some great doctors out there. This is to not paint with a broad brush. It is to talk about the establishment, the state medical boards. There may be good members on these boards, but overall, they are there to keep the system going, as is, which is not working out well for people. When it comes to chiropractic care, I'm going to mention this one thing, then I'm going to take a break, and I'm going to come back and give you some statistics that I think it's almost funny the way I'm going to present it. I guarantee you've never heard it this way. But there have been, with chiropractic care, there have been injuries and even some deaths. I've gotten my neck adjusted. I had some neck problems. I got 8 treatments from a chiropractor 20 years ago. Never had another problem from it. My neck used to lock up if I kind of watch television at an angle for a little while and then, you know, go to commercial and I'd turn to somebody else in the room. I'd almost black out. Like my neck would get stuck and then I'd see stars and I would almost pass out. I went to a chiropractor, about 8 adjustments, and I was done. I haven't had a lick of problems with it for 25 years now. But it always made me very nervous when they did the adjustment. I mean, if you've ever had a chiropractic adjustment, there's all these cracks and creaks and jerking and stuff like that. It freaked me out, I got to tell you. But it worked. But sometimes there have been injuries for these things, and, you know, a lot of medicine will point to these things. Oh, there have been chiropractic. I mean, there are good chiropractors and bad chiropractors. There have been accidents. I didn't do the research to find out how many people have been injured by it, but I do know the statistics on the American medical establishment. And I'm going to draw a comparison for you when we come back looking at our current medical system. And the reason that I think this is important is because we have changed our entire country based on the recommendations of these people. They present themselves as the science and the authorities, in many cases almost gods, because they dare not be questioned. So I think it's important that we look at their track record, not just the diplomas that hang on their wall, but their track record as an industry, and say, are these the people? Have the results from this industry been so great that they are who we should listen to? Because a lot of people out there are wearing masks because the doctors now suddenly, you know, for the last 100 years they haven't worn masks, not during flu season or any other outbreak of any disease, but suddenly in the last year, the science has totally changed. They're telling you, wear the mask, get this experimental shot. So should you trust them? Are they on your side? Is what the medical establishment who is running our lives right now, are they out for the best interest of the American people? I think it's important to look at their track record. We're going to do that when I come back. Stay with me. I don't think I read my personal disclaimer before the beginning of the show today. I am not a doctor. I'm not a scientist, not a biologist, not an immunologist, not a virologist, not a vaccinologist, not a surgeon, not a nurse, not a therapist. I'm nothing. I have no medical certification. And for this next segment, I couldn't be prouder of that fact. We have turned ourselves over. We've turned our businesses over. We've turned our schools over. We've turned our churches over to the medical establishment in this country for the past 16 months. Do they deserve that trust? Do they have a track record that says these are the people who know everything and they're completely benevolent? The people in these hospitals, you know, UMC has just gone nutso on vaccine mandates and some other things, but UMC helps a lot of people. They do. And as I continue to say, if you're in a car accident, your body breaks, the surgeons, the medical teams are able to do things with the human body now that are just unbelievable. 12-hour surgeries, reattaching microscopic veins. I don't know how they do it. It's something to behold. Kudos to some of the advancements in those kinds of medical science. But this group of people who have put us into what is essentially a medical dictatorship when it comes to masks and now these experimental shots, we're run by a medical dictatorship. So I thought we'd take a look at their track record and compare it to something. I'm going to start. I'm going to switch up my notes here. Gun violence in the United States results in tens of thousands of deaths and injuries annually. In 2018, the most recent year for which data are available as of 2021, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention's National Center for Health Statistics reports 38,390 deaths by firearm, of which 24,434 were by suicide. So gun deaths in this country each year, or at least this was for 2018, but you imagine they're fairly consistent, 38,000 gun deaths a year, 24,000 of those were personally inflicted. The other, 14,000, the difference between the 38,000 and the 24,000 suicides. Those 14,000 gun-related deaths are what we all talk about, right? We talk about Chicago. Did you hear what happened in Chicago this weekend? 6 people got murdered in Chicago on Saturday. We talk about it here in Jackson, right? We're over 100 homicides in Jackson right now. These drive headlines, they drive a lot of us to talk about things. Our society is getting so dangerous. Over a nation of 330 million people, 14,000 people are killed by firearms, and we talk about it endlessly. whether it's on the left with this, oh my gosh, everybody's dying from a gun, we got to get rid of all the guns, or the people on the right who say, look at all this crime, particularly in these Democrat cities, look at all the violence. That's all over 14,000 deaths a year. That is nothing compared to what goes on in the medical establishment. According to the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, 100,000 Americans die from reactions to prescription drugs each year. Those are properly prescribed, properly taken pharmaceutical drugs. 100,000 Americans die from prescription drugs each year, making this the fourth leading cause of death in the U.S. Pharmaceutical companies are on the Fortune 500 list. MS-13 is on the most wanted list. I'm not saying MS-13 or the gangster disciples are good people, we should leave them alone. No, they're violent. But all of the gang activity in this country by the most notorious and violent gangs kill 14,000 people a year. The pharmaceutical companies kill 100,000 people a year. Properly prescribed, properly taken drugs. Does not include opioid deaths of people who abuse and take drugs off of label. That's 100,000 properly prescribed, properly taken pharmaceuticals, 100,000 deaths per year. What is that? Six times the number that all of the gangbangers in this country take a year. A recent John Hopkins study claims that more than 250,000 people in the U.S. die every year from medical errors. Other reports claim the number to be as high as 440,000. Medical errors are the third leading cause of death after heart disease and cancer. And they haven't cured heart disease or cancer yet, have they? Well, those are very profitable. Writing in the Journal of the American Medical Association, JAMA, Dr. Starfield has documented the tragedy of the traditional medical paradigm in the following statistics. They use a term, iatrogenic, maybe. I told you, I'm not a scientist, not a biologist, not a doctor. Iatrogenic is defined as, quote, induced in a patient by a physician's activity, manner, or therapy, used especially to pertain to a complication of treatment. If the higher estimates are used, the deaths due to iatrogenic causes would range from 230,000 to 284,000, or an average of about 250,000 Americans a year die from medical errors. These are the people who now tell us, don't you dare question us. How dare you? They've been saying that to you for your own personal health for years and years. They did to me. But you, don't you dare question us. We say masking, and we have medical degrees. We know what we're talking about. And I want to point out that these deaths, it's not about the fact of people dying in hospitals. People die in hospitals. Doctors can't save everybody. And some doctors do heroic things to save the lives of people every single day. Doctors and nurses and surgeons. But as an industry, the industry that is currently running what I call the medical mafia, and right now we are moving into medical martial law, kills 250,000 Americans. I did the math. That's a 9/11 every 4 days, since people love to use that comparison. Every 4 days, 3,000 Americans die from medical errors. And these are the people running the show. Again, the most violent criminal gangs, not to mention just one-off shootings of people and murder-suicides or mass shootings. That's 14,000 people a year. We're at 250,000 killed by medical errors and 100,000 killed by prescription drugs taken the right way as prescribed by a doctor. That's 350,000 Americans are killed every single year. My point really being with this, can this group of medical professionals as an industry, and there may be good ones listening to me right now. You know who you are. I know a lot of you. This is not everybody. But maybe the industry could drop a little bit of the cockiness and understand why Americans question you. A lot of us have had some pretty poor health outcomes being a part of the mainstream medical advice. Poor outcomes from how we live day to day, the fact that we start out on one medication in our 20s, and by the time we're in our 50s, we're on 5, and by the time we're 70, we're on 17, and we feel bad the whole way through under your care. And some bad outcomes in the fact that 350,000 Americans die every single year between medical errors and pharmaceuticals. So maybe you can excuse us for maybe questioning a tiny bit about your judgment. And this does not even include the trend in diseases which continues to get worse. Cancers, more prevalent. Autism, more prevalent. Diabetes, more prevalent. Heart disease, more prevalent. We don't even rank in the top 10 in the world in medical care, in longevity, in infant mortality. And it is the cockiness of this industry that refuses to admit these things. One of the reasons I bring this up and said, no one's going to give you these statistics the same way I am. This is an industry, a wildly profitable industry that bankrupts some people. If you go in for any kind of even the most basic medical care can bankrupt the average American these days. The costs are just swamping us financially. And yet you find out that this industry, no other industry could survive if General Motors and Toyota and Ford, all three together, if they were killing $350,000 through, I mean, 350,000 people a year because of problems with their product, nobody would buy these cars. As I started out with my quote of the day, the medical industry is the only one that can survive these kinds of numbers, but they're not ever reported that way. We'll see the 600,000 COVID deaths, right, shoved into our face. But we've been year after year after year after year of 350,000 people dying at the hands of Big Pharma and the medical establishment. Nobody talks about that. Nobody talks about it at all. And these are the people that are supposed to be running the show now, and we're not supposed to question them. I got to tell you, I think I've got plenty of questions. When you are killing, what's that, 15 times the number of the most violent gangs in America, all of the gun violence in America every single year is 14,000. The medical establishment kills 350,000. Seems like your credibility is on the line. And many, not all by a long shot, but many of these medical professionals now are in the process of harming us again. And this is not all. There's plenty of good, sane doctors out there. I talked to some of them. But the ones that just feed at the trough of the CDC and the AMA, and they believe every word out of their mouths, again, the Centers for Disease Control, no other organization has ever failed a mission defined by their name. The Centers for Disease Control, as we see disease get worse every single year in the United States, across the board, cancers, autism, Alzheimer's, diabetes. And we're supposed to be listening to these people. And to those of you who believe every word out of the CDC, doesn't that make you question them? Maybe they don't know if they haven't known what's best for us for the last 50 years of failure with these organizations, maybe they don't know now. And a lot of these doctors in the medical establishment that will refuse to admit, I mean, they would be furious to hear this segment. The 350,000 deaths a year from the medical establishment. They'd be here. But many of them have spent the last 16 months destroying people's lives, denying them cheap and effective medications. How many people, and there again, there are good doctors, good nurses out there administering good, safe, alternative, cheap drugs and saving people's lives, but not the AMA, not the CDC, not the FDA, not the pharmaceutical companies, not the major hospitals. They have been denying Americans safe, effective, early treatments. Instead, what did they do? They told people, oh, you've got COVID, nothing we can do for you. Go home, and when you get on death's door, come back and see us. We'll let you die up here. That has really been the model, because they refused, at the hands of the AMA and the CDC and the FDA, they refused to acknowledge the benefits of early treatment with ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. They could have saved hundreds of thousands of lives. They chose not to. Instead, promoted drugs like remdesivir that shown zero effect on COVID. The same medical establishment told you nothing about ways to boost your own immunity during this crisis. Nothing. They have been promoting policies that have destroyed hundreds of thousands of businesses. And this is what I'm talking about, because this is more than just your health. They've uprooted our entire economy. Killed, crushed, bankrupted thousands and thousands and thousands of small business owners. Many of their whole lives have been upended because health authorities have told you to lock down, to mask up, to shut down. They've promoted policies that have caused an increase in suicides, especially among our children. They've promoted these policies of this masking that is damaging the children. It's not just an inconvenience. It's damaging the children. It's damaging them emotionally, socially, mentally, and physically. And the medical establishment has got your kids strapped into these masks. I'm not letting them off the hook for that, as harsh as this segment may be. And now, most importantly, the medical establishment, your AMA, your CDC, your FDA, are pushing an experimental shot that has already killed 14,000 people. The vaccine is responsible for as many deaths as all of the violent homicides done by guns in a year. Within, where are we now? 7 months, 8 months? The vaccine has already killed, and everyone acknowledges that is a low estimate. 14,000 people on VAERS right now have been killed by this experimental vaccine. That's more than the gun deaths in the United States this year. Even with all the violence you're seeing, all the violence you're talking about, two vaccines have done as much damage as MS-13 or the gangster disciples. Permanently disabled another 18,000 people with this shot that the AMA, the FDC, FDA, the CDC are all pushing, as well as your schools and those people who are under the sway of this medical mafia, this medical martial law they're trying to roll out on us. And then damages to the hearts of thousands of young people. Are these the people? Are these the people that we think we should allow to control our lives? Until they will acknowledge the obvious problems in an industry that kills 350,000 Americans each year, then I'm not talking about people who die in the hospitals. People die in hospitals. People die of old age, they die of diseases, they die of heart attacks, they die of accidents. People die in hospitals. That's not included in this statistic of 250,000. Those are from errors, medical errors. Pharmaceutical companies and the medical establishment are the third leading cause of death in this country. Maybe we should think about that before we take every recommendation that try to shut down our country. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. I don't guess I can do a more harsh segment than that on the medical establishment. Any hate mail can be sent to MikeMadison@WYAB.com. Sorry, those are just the statistics. They speak for themselves, really, but I like to add a little color commentary to them. Now, how about this as a whipsaw? In defense of doctors and the medical establishment, you do give them a lot to work with. You know, when people abuse their bodies and put bad food and ignore nutrition for 20, 30 years, you're going to end up in a hospital. I mean, they've got to deal with a lot of people who shouldn't even be in the hospital in the first place because we eat such garbage food. And speaking of garbage food, I've got a bit of an alert, I guess. Now, I do not know how widespread this problem is, so I don't want to implicate an entire food group based on what I'm about to tell you, but I saw a news story about pork that was really, really amazing to watch. And I'm sure these are most of these big, giant factory farms. And they were showing, it was a pork industry whistleblower. It was a guy, it was here in America. It was a guy who did what whistleblowers do. He's been working at a pork processing plant. And he just really just couldn't believe what he was seeing. The hogs used in some of these big operations, they eat food waste. We know pigs will eat anything, right? Like goats. But he was showing what was being fed to these pigs, and what that was a bunch of discarded food, much of it is still in plastic wrappers. And they have sorters to try to take some of this plastic out, but he was showing, I mean, it was like dumping over a dumpster full of trash bags and chip bags and bottles and everything else. And it goes up this conveyor trough. Some of the plastic is filtered out, but not near all of it. And then it goes into this grinder, comes out as a powder. They cook this powder and then feed it to the pork. Now, the reason I bring this up is these little microplastic particles go into the pork and they go into us. This has been found, little microplastics have been found in newborn children that's been passed on to them by mothers. And this has been something that's been reported on a lot. I don't know if I've ever covered it on this show, but that we have this overexposure. These things are endocrine disruptors too, these plastics. You want to talk about some of the sexual problems we may be having in this country? Maybe it's because we're eating and being exposed to so many of these endocrine disruptors, these gender-bending hormones that are coming through these chemicals, largely in these plastics. I'm just saying, there may be some good ethical pork producers out there. Maybe I need to try to find them to guide you to a healthier food, but just a word of warning. I was stunned watching what they did, how they fed these pigs. I got to say, I was naive to this, but when a pig eats garbage and you eat the pig, you're eating garbage. And then we wonder why we're on 5 to 10 medications. Huh. Who could have guessed it? Anyway, do your own research. I'll see if I can find pork producers that are doing the right thing. I think I'll come back in a second. I ran across a news story. It's actually a couple of years old, but it was about a guy diagnosed with a serious cancer and what he did about it outside of the cut, burn, poison model of the American medical system. We'll do that when we come back. Stay with me. Calling all citizens from all over the world. This is Captain America calling. I built you up when you were down on your knees. So will you catch me now? I'm falling. All right, final segment here. I'm going to get to this clip real quick. I think I've got time to do both of these. We need to start paying attention to, if you want to reclaim your health, it's not only about the food you eat, but it's about what the food you eat ate. This was a farmer giving his accounting of what happened to his livestock when he started feeding them genetically modified foods, which means the animals you're eating are getting a ton of pesticides and herbicides in their diet as well. And then that is, again, being passed along to you.
How concerning is that when you talk about how you firsthand saw how sick some of these animals got from consuming GMO feed and knowing that people are either consuming these animals or their products such as milk and things like that? When you see firsthand how sick those animals were and then people that are eating that, I mean, that's got to just
it's
frightening.
It absolutely, if it doesn't get your attention, I wonder about either the fact that you have a pulse or what kind of values you function under, because it's so obvious and it's not normal. It's been, you know, I watched that in the animal arena. 1996, the first BT corn came out, and they put a little bit of that corn in the silage pile for the dairy down the road, and they were able to keep track of what went where. And they hit that spot in the silage pile, and the cows backed off feed. Well, 3 years later, when there had been a full force implementation, or 4 years or 5 years, whatever the case may be, and had been an avalanche-type implementation of BT corn, cows didn't have a choice anymore. So the people didn't see what was normal or what they had changed to be. And the incidences of the specific illnesses that occurred, that came upon in the same manner and fashion, where antibiotic use was as needed or sporadic at best, now all of a sudden has become routine. You know, you have to do it because that's just the way it is. Well, that was another component that we did with our study. We did not use antibiotics. And that was done on purpose because of the anecdotal information that we had connected previously. We saw that there was a remediative effect of sorts from the antibiotic as far as some of the digestive issues. when you feed good feedstuffs, you don't have to have the animals on drugs to keep them healthy and alive and growing. But, you know, who's that support? If you follow the circle back far enough, coincidence or not, the pharmaceutical slash chemical slash GMO producing seed companies, they're all one and the same. So that, you know, might cause you to ask a question, is this good for business?
So, I mean, even the cows knew not to eat GMO foods. They sniffed it out when they tried to sneak it into their food source. They wouldn't eat it. This is what Americans are eating every day. And when they introduce the GMO foods into the cows, they start getting sicker and sicker. And now the cows are all on antibiotics. A lot of those antibiotics are getting into our guts and then destroying our gut bacteria. We've talked about it before. You know, this is one of the problems I talked last week. I played a clip, or maybe a couple weeks ago, about the trace minerals that are missing from our soil because of the way we farm. So we're not getting the good minerals because they don't have the same land practices they used to have, and this is cascading into health problems for people. Well, I would submit to you that probably not only the GMOs we're eating, but the GMOs that are being fed to our cattle are also cascading into our health because we're eating these animals. I wanted to play this real quick because a news story about a Lee's Summit man, not sure exactly what town this is in, but he got diagnosed with cancer and took a different path.
Studies have shown how important diet is to good health. And now more and more patients are seeking a fresh approach to treatment. KCTV5's Carolyn Long spoke with a local man who claims that food worked for him over chemo to fight his cancer.
One of the contestants on June's American Ninja Warrior competition hails from right here in Lee's Summit. Running against time and impossible obstacles, 43-year-old Eric Ewing works out in the most unusual way. Who comes up with this stuff?
Right? I'm 43 going on 22.
Especially amazing when you learn Eric faced a dire diagnosis 5 years ago while working as a pilot for SkyWest Airlines. A mole he had removed from his stomach came back as cancerous.
So I went from never going to any doctors, hospitals, clean bill health, to having stage 3B melanoma.
When more tumors were found, the doctor suggested chemo.
With that chemotherapy, I had about a 40% chance to live 5 years.
So Eric read and read, questioned everything, and found a study from the National Institute of Health on his prescribed form of chemo.
It didn't increase your chances of surviving by 1%.
So Eric kept digging and finally decided to forego the conventional treatment method and try a more holistic approach using food as medicine.
I went guns a-blazing into Gerson therapy.
Gerson therapy is unproven and extremely controversial within the medical field. The treatment shifts the focus.
What a shock. Very controversial and unproven within the medical community.
Focus from destroying cancer cells to nurturing the healthy cells. Eric even flew out to San Diego to take a class on it.
It's eating whole plant-based foods and juicing 13 times a day for 2 years.
It's a full-time, demanding commitment developed by Dr. Max Gerson in the 30s. It floods the body daily with nutrients through 15 to 20 pounds of organically grown fruits and vegetables. In addition to 3 plant-based meals per day, you can see Eric here in his kitchen filling his prescription for 13 glasses of fresh juice each day.
So every hour on the hour, from the time that you wake up till the time you go to sleep, you're making a juice. And you do that for 2 years.
So that means quite an investment in an industrial strength juicer. And it also means no more dairy, meat, sugar, alcohol, or processed foods.
It's a very, very stringent, strict diet. And many people couldn't, unless they had this discipline, they couldn't stick with it. But it works very, very well for most people.
Dr. David Clark is the naturopath Eric has worked with locally for his supplements. He's watched as Eric's tumors have disappeared one by one.
What?
His progress is just very, very excellent.
Tumor number 13 is the only one left, shrinking in my left lung.
It is bad food that got us into this problem.
The Gerson therapy is also the focus now of a new documentary called A Food Cure, just released in California 3 weeks ago. It follows 6 cancer patients of varying ages through their fight.
It is good food that can get us out of it.
Eric is just thrilled that the message is getting out that there may be another option.
I feel the best shape of my life.
He even thanks cancer for his zest for living, calling cancer a gift.
Wait, what did you just say?
I know people have trouble with this, but I've learned so much about myself, so much about just understanding other people and just appreciating every day, that cancer for me has been a gift. I've learned so much that I couldn't have learned any other way.
And I have great news to pass along. Eric just had another scan and learned that 13th and final tumor is now officially gone. He is now tumor free.
Huh. How about that? Now, I got to tell you, his regimen of juicing basically every hour. I don't know if you've ever juiced before. I got into a conversation with about juicing with somebody the other day. It's it can be pretty expensive. It takes a lot of carrots to get a glass of carrot juice. There's cleaning up the juicer. That's what I remember the most. It was kind of a pain. So your choice kind of is, you can either do that. Again, this guy is now cancer-free. No chemo, no radiation. Had some moles cut off that they show in the video there. But outside of that, he let his body do what his body was meant to do, which was heal itself. And it worked. And it's worked for thousands, millions of people, and actually before the last 100 years, you know, worked for people all the time. So if it sounds tedious to you, too, I don't want to be juicing every single hour, every single day for 2 years. That's a lot of work and a lot of money. So pay attention to your diet on the front end. Do some of that stuff on the front end and just avoid the diagnosis altogether. Anyway, I think, you know, to me, this is, and you can go see, there's a documentary called The Gerson Miracle out there. Take a look. Of course, the Gerson Clinic, where they actually treat people, I believe, is in Mexico. They won't allow them to do it here in the United States, you know, because we're free and all. But you can check out that documentary and see. But again, I think it's not, it's important to people that have cancer. I'm not recommending anybody's course of treatment for cancer. If you want, need radiation and chemotherapy, and that's what you think you want to do, and your mind's right about that, then you go do that. But I think it is illustrative of the fact that if you give your body what it actually needs, particularly flooding it with nutrients and vitamins and everything else that it's craving for, it will take care of you and it will heal itself. That message is lost in the American medical mafia. That's all the time I got today. See you next time. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.